Hello, and welcome to Holden Village. Today is June 16th, 2005. Today's session is entitled Spirit for Living, Walking Humbly, presented by Michael Wilker. Disc number WIM 2005-03.
So there's about 150, possibly 300 pastors, I don't have all the stats yet, that are now serving in congregations all across the country that are former Lutheran volunteers. And on that, a note to recognize is that only 60% or so of the Lutheran volunteers are actually Lutheran. The other 40% are coming from other denominations, Roman Catholic, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, and every year, one or two or three are actually not Christian, because you don't have to be Christian to be in the Lutheran Volunteer Corps. We talk about that our work springs from the gospel tradition of Jesus, but you don't have to sign a creed to say that you believe Jesus is the Savior in order to do this work for justice. And that's actually a Lutheran principle. We don't have to work only with other Lutherans in our work in the world. We don't have to work only with other Christians to create a just community in the world. And so LBC has taken that seriously. And so volunteers in LBC can be Lutheran, other Christian denominations, or even not Lutheran, or not Christian. We have, besides the work that the volunteers do in homeless shelters, to after-school programs, to refugee rights groups or disability rights groups, the volunteers also live in an intentional community of households of 4 to 6 volunteers. And so they're households in 10 different cities right now: Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Wilmington, Delaware, Chicago, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Seattle, Tacoma, and then the San Francisco Bay Area. We have one house of volunteers there. And they explore, like what Holden is doing, what it means to be an intentional community where you care for one another, share some resources with one another, and can make a commitment to spend some time with each other. Not just a group of folks sharing a house together, but a little bit more intentional and deep relationship develops.
Do the different houses interact and community with one another?
Yeah, there's that extended community of the houses in a particular city or even a region. And then in each of the cities we have what's called a local support committee, made up of former volunteers and other interested church folks that help provide an extended community right there. Sometimes it's just simply logistical support in between the volunteer years. What happens if the lease that we have on one house or apartment ends and we have to move to another house? The local support committee moves all the furniture and all of that kind of stuff. So they might provide that very specific, practical, logistical support, but they also provide an extended community of relationships too. The third tenet or value that LBCers explore is simpler living. And when LBC was started 25 years ago, this seemed to be the start of a new fad, you know? Holden Village at the time was also exploring what it meant to be being a retreat center that expressed a value of simpler living. Holden Village at the time was making choices about how much meat do we include in the meal plan here. Where do we buy our food? All those kinds of questions Holden Village was asking around the same time that LBC was starting to. Richard Foster, a famous theologian who's written books on prayer, he also wrote a book called The Celebration of Discipline, which was looking at a more disciplined way of living and
And
the freedom of simplicity, thank you. And then Ron Sider wrote a book called Rich Christians in the Age of Hunger. So there was a lot of work on helping Christians rethink our choices and our participation in the world where so many people were hungry and where the environmental degradation of our society and of our nation was becoming more evident to many people's eyes. So what was the Christian response? But living a simpler life was not a new thing in the 1970s. It's not a new thing or a fad, even though there's more books on the shelves now in the Holden Village bookstore that have been written on simpler living in the last 5 years. There's even now regular trade publications, magazines that you can find in your grocery store, Simple Living, and you open it up and it's full of advertisements to buy more things. You know? But it's not new. When one of the ways that I entered into thinking about a simpler life in LVC was I read a cookbook that was called More with Less, and by Doris Longacre Jansen. She was a Mennonite, and she was working on a project with the Mennonite Central Committee on pulling together recipes for how Mennonites could be more conscious of how they were making food choices and using their time that they had been given. And the first third of this cookbook is really an exploration of living a simpler life. And she, in the book, starts talking about her mother and her grandmother. And it started reminding me about the things that I was learning in LVC were things that my grandmother, Leona Wilker, was doing when I was growing up. She was growing her own vegetables. She was canning and preserving them. She was darning my socks when I was a little elementary school kid, and darning my jeans, and taking care of the resources that we had been given. You could say it was that she was being frugal, and that was partly what she was doing. But she was also enjoying the fruits of creation in a way that by the time it got to my generation, we had thought, oh, that's old-fashioned. The way grandma was doing that, we don't have to do that. Got a hole in my sock? Oh, well, I'll throw it in the garbage can and I'll go and buy another one, because it only costs a dollar or something like that to buy a new pair of socks at the time. Not thinking about, well, then where is that sock that's going in the garbage going to go? Where is that new sock coming from? Why does it only cost me a dollar? Why do I have a dollar to spend on a sock that, yeah, probably was made, if I thought about it, in a place where a dollar a day is what the person made, earned, who made that sock. So they couldn't even afford to buy the sock that I was buying for a dollar, because they'd just thrown away one that had a little hole in it. So that year in LBC started making me think more consciously about all the connections of everything that I wear, everything that I eat, the place where I live, the lights that I turn on, the water that comes out of the faucet and that goes down the drain to who knows where. Living a simpler life, I think, is really about being conscious of our connections to all of creation. Marva Dawn has written on living a simpler life, and she talks about it as living with focal concerns. Living with focal concerns. And she says that for Christians, the two focal concerns are loving God and loving neighbor. So how are our lives, asks Marva Dawn, living with those as our focal concerns? How do we make choices about energy usage, about where our congregation gets its music and prints its music for worship services? How do we make choices about heating or air conditioning at our congregations or in our homes? How do all of those questions continue to proclaim our love of God and our love of neighbor? That's how she would say that everything flows from those two concerns for Christians. And there's a way then that we can ask questions about everything in our life that would focus us back in on those two concerns. Now, living a simpler life, though, can very quickly start to feel like a whole bunch of burdened decisions that we have to be so conscious of. Okay, if I go to the grocery store and I've got apples here and oranges there, how am I going to choose if I buy this apple that was born, that was grown in Wenatchee because it's local, but the workers are not unionized, but it might be a pesticide-free. Whereas the orange is coming from Brazil today, but I know that blah, blah, blah. So then you have all, it's like, oh, I just want to go and buy something at the grocery store. I don't want to have to think about all this stuff. So there's a way that trying to live a simpler life can pretty much feel like you're tied and confused by all the questions that are being posed. And I think that something that I've learned recently more so, and Marvadon helps me with this too, and so does, if I go back to that book, Living More with Less, by Doris Longacre Jansen, they talk about the prayerful aspect of living a simpler life. And I want to encourage myself and you all to, as you explore a simpler life, as you try to make some decisions in your lives, that you take time first for the contemplation part of it. I'm going to point you to some of the other things that have been going on at Holden. The Vesper services in the evenings. The ways of prayer that Gary, the pastor from Bellingham, Washington, has been leading, talking about Benedictine forms of prayer or Ignatian forms of prayer. Or just being able to go and sit on a bench looking at the mountains in your own solitude and silence. And to, in those forms of prayer and contemplation, be aware again of how God is gifting you and blessing you and wants you to experience the peace that God is giving through all creation. I think that a simpler life probably has a journey in it that goes back from this contemplation to decision-making and action. But if it's only over here on this end of decision-making and action, pretty soon you're actually going to be taken off into a different activist mode that's not going to be life-giving eventually. You're going to need to come back to the contemplation part of this mode of living. Because as one of the community members here and I were talking about, to put it in a Lutheran or Protestant framework, grace is always first. Trying to live from grace comes second for us. But we need to be freed first by God in those contemplative, grace-filled moments. We need to be freed by God in order to love, and to love freely. Richard Fox, oh, go ahead.
Can I make a comment?
Yeah.
It has to do with providential support for simple living.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that grace also comes in a vocational call.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're focused on our call, things become more clear about what's pertinent and what's not. And at the same time, God provides the resources that are necessary. The model that I always work with is manna in the desert, from the desert wandering of the Israelites. They always got what they needed, but just enough. And they lived simply, and they followed God's call. And for me, that's been a kind of model or paradigm that's helped to explain some of my experience in simple living.
Yes. Yeah. So tomorrow we're going to have a little forum on called In, From, and To Community. to kind of even unfold that call aspect a little bit more, to see what is our call and how it comes in a community experience usually. And then we're actually also called from and to community. But the call of living in accord with God's providence and to be open to receiving the gifts that God is providing us for the day. I think it was this morning at Bible study, if any of you went to the Bible study, Fred Niedner was talking about all the bread passages and having our hands open to receiving the bread, our daily bread from God. And the call to share our daily bread. There's a lot today. Seems to be a day to think about food at Holden Village. The meal that we're going to share in just a little bit is the traditional hunger meal. Today we're going to be eating rice. And I think that's about all that we have at the hunger meal on Thursday will be the rice. And there's a video about apple growing in Wenatchee and how the local apple growers in Wenatchee are trying to respond to globalization as well as being more conscious of environmental concerns and pesticide use and even some labor practices too. So that movie's going to be on, and then at 3:40, that's at 2 o'clock, and then at 3:45, the Practicing Our Faith project that Dorothy Bass, the teaching staff coordinator, has brought together a number of people working on faith practices, how we live out our faith, and there's going to be an exercise that we can all take part in on helping us think about food choices in our daily lives. So all of these things happening today, and to have Fred talking about food and bread from a biblical perspective this morning. So you have lots of opportunities to intersect, and your other community members here, a lot of them will have gone to other things too, so you'll have a lot of interesting conversations outside of this.
When you talked about contemplation, it struck me that, at least I have witnessed, that our churches have had certain phases. Some is, look what we've got here programmatically for our members.
Yeah.
And then there are other congregations that seem to do more service, reaching out to the neighbor. But I think many are lacking in opportunities for contemplation. Mm-hmm. And I think we need that in our church communities in order to nurture us and encourage us in our own. Especially at a time when pace seems to be ever-increasing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dorothy Bass, the teaching staff coordinator, has done a lot of work on Sabbath keeping. So that not, and for Dorothy, the Sabbath keeping is the day of Sabbath, but also finding moments throughout your week when you take Sabbath time, when you rest in the holiness of God. And there's a number of good resources out. And also Marva Dawn has written a really good book on Sabbath keeping too. And that helps us to set aside specific time for contemplation as well as for the enjoyment of creation, to recognize this providence of God that we live in. Another, what I would like to, there's ways that we could share specific things that we've done to simplify our life recently, but I'd like to encourage you to do that with one another, maybe more outside of this time. I found, as I've been preparing for this session, that there's like all these lists now. 101 ways that you can simplify your life. Even the ELCA put out this really nice 40-day journey to a simpler life thing. It's for use at during Lent or or during Advent that has four sides to it, and each day it gives you one suggestion for how to explore a simpler life. So there's all these lists that you can find, and you can create them yourself and share them with yourself. But a concern that I have is that, again, I'd like to talk about motivation, what motivates us and sustains us in this simpler living. And I get a little confused at why I'm living a simpler life sometimes. Am I doing it because I care about justice for farm workers in Watsonville, California that are growing the strawberries? Am I doing it because I want to take better care of my own body? Am I doing it because I want to be open to receiving the gifts of God freely without having to grab for them or run in the rat race? Why am I doing this? And Larry Rasmussen wrote an article on the streams in the Christian tradition that can help us when we think about environmental issues. And I found these four streams that he identified helpful for me to think about why I live a simpler life. And I wanted to share those with you and have a little conversation about that. Because while the article related these four streams to environmental work of the church, I think they're helpful for us to think about why we live a simpler life. And because there's four, it also gives you a diversity of modes and motivations. And sometimes you'll find in yourself, this is why I'm doing it today, or this is why I'm making this decision. But you might see that your congregation is living in a different mode for a while. And I think all four of them are good and helpful streams. And to see the diversity in motivation helps free me up too. So I want to share that with you as my main gift coming via Larry Rasmussen.
I'm sure, did you say the title of the article is Four Streams or it's about Four Streams?
I don't remember the name of the
article.
Okay. I tried to find it here. It was in a journal called Dialogue, which is a Lutheran theological journal.
Okay.
And the first stream is and I should have looked it up in the dictionary first. Asceticism. Asceticism. This would be the folks like the Desert Fathers and Mothers were some of the earliest practitioners of this. But you've got other examples actually in the Bible. John the Baptist going into the wilderness and eating locusts and wild honey. That they were making a choice to sometimes literally strip themselves of the trappings of the world so that they could focus totally, like the birds of the air, upon receiving the providence of God's creation. In the Christian tradition, and this flows into what's been going on this week with Dan Erlander and talking about St. Francis. St. Francis and the Franciscans were, and a lot of them still are, examples of living an ascetic life, where they live a life of poverty. Stripping themselves of the world's trappings and the world's wealth and choosing to live very, very simply. And sometimes the Franciscans, for example, were what were called mendicants, that they would not work for pay. They would do work, but that was all volunteer work. And then they would actually beg for their sustenance. So they would ask people to share their bread with them, or to give them money so that they would have food to eat. Rely totally on the hospitality of others. Lars Clausen is, in a way, going to live an ascetic life as he's unicycling from Vermont down to Washington, D.C. this summer. He's relying totally on the hospitality of gays and lesbians, bisexuals, and transgendered families. And he's left not knowing exactly where he's going to sleep the next night. What his plan is that he found someone in Vermont, a family in Vermont that's invited him to stay with them on the first leg of the journey. And that family is going to recommend the next household to sleep in. So Lars is really relying on the hospitality of other people on his journey. It's partly a life of asceticism, to rely on the gifts of God coming through others. So that's one stream. Some people feel very totally open and freed by this aesthetic life, that it removes them from having to be successful in the world's eyes. Gives them a way of separating from, as Larry Rasmussen talked about it earlier this week, the global political capitalist system. Because you can, as much as possible in a life of the aesthetic, almost become a hermit, separate from that whole economic system that seems to be filled with violence and oppression of other people. And so you remove yourself from that and say, that's not how we live, really. That's all based upon lies. The only way that all of us truly lives is by fully relying on God. So, asceticism. Any questions or comments about that? Have you ever lived or tried to live an aesthetic life? This is a little different than involuntary poverty. You know, some of you have had times when you've been poor, not by choice. This is definitely a choice. Or if you have been poor, you flip into a different mode of living. You realize, okay, well, society made me poor first of all, but now I choose, because of the power of God, to continue to live a life of poverty. So it's not you're not forcing people into a life of poverty. You choose it freely because of God's power and grace. Right. Comments or questions on this first stream? Do you see how Larry might see asceticism, this stream in the Christian tradition, helping us when we think about environmental questions in the church and a Christian response to environmentalism? You kind of nodding?
No, absolutely. I mean, we're all easily caught into this trap that we have to have more, we have to have. And it was funny, Fred was talking this morning about how, you know, do people ever really experience that they have too much, really, truly? And I'm getting to the point in my life where I almost feel like I have too much. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting question now, where do I go with this? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And I could choose to go to a luxury hotel, mm-hmm, for a week of vacation, mm-hmm, or I can choose to come to a place like this where I'm fed spiritually and live in a more simple way.
Yeah.
You know, and be conscientious of the environment, and how do I pass this on to my kids now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I go and stay at this luxury hotel for a week, I'm not really teaching my kids a whole lot, mm-hmm, about the environment and how to be respectful and appreciate it and live in it.
Yeah.
It's very challenging.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
You've used potentially two different terms,
mm-hmm,
a simpler life and poverty. Mm-hmm. Are you equating them as the same, or are those possibly two different things?
I think they're two different things. Aesthetics, some of them talk about the life of poverty, that they've made a voluntary choice to live a life of poverty. So that's how they would, in this section, in this stream,
okay,
I talk about poverty,
okay,
as a choice that some ascetics are making. Simpler living, I'm going to have overarching.
I just didn't know where you're going there. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have some of you heard of Feng Shui? It's now kind of a fad in the United States. And it's a lot of the books that are written about Feng Shui are written for decluttering your lives. Because you've got, and I feel this a lot, when Judy and I moved our family from a huge parsonage on Long Island to a rented house, which is just right for us in terms of size, in Washington, D.C., we thought, okay, we're going to need one U-Haul van, 20-footer. The movers come to pack up our U-Haul van. They told us with 45 minutes left to go that it wasn't all going to fit. And so I needed to rent quickly on the spot another than one of the minivans that they had. And the movers left and I had to load it all up, the rest of it by myself. And I was very chagrined as the new director of the Lutheran Volunteer Corps. That I couldn't fit everything I needed into one huge U-Haul van. I actually needed to get another one. But, and so now we're in our house and we are, we're realizing we just need to be more intentional about getting rid of some of the stuff we've accumulated. And some of the things that we've accumulated are pretty valuable in one sense to us. I love books. And so a bunch of these boxes were filled with all my books from college, seminary, and the 19 or 20 years since. And so I don't know if I want to get rid of my books. Where will I go? I don't know if the library has these books. So, but it also goes to the hangings that we have on our wall, the art pieces, the posters, the things we have in our refrigerator. How many pots and pans do we really need? All of these things to declutter our lives kind of fits into this dream of asceticism. Okay. And I think there's a lot of people in our country that are feeling the clutter of all of our gunk. And they're being attracted by feng shui. I think that there's some helpful things in there. But I see that as that it's a response to this malady of too much stuff. And this is feng shui is a partly a life of ascetic. But it's not necessarily poverty. Lots of feng shui practitioners are very wealthy people, but are trying to create their homes in a way that provides them with some space and simplicity.
That's, I think, having kids helps you too in a way. But then you start realizing, I don't need to have all this stuff out. I want my kids to be able to live in this house comfortably and enjoy it and know it as a family center, not look at all these things we have on display and you can't touch any of them and you can't run through this room and you can't just have one.
Yeah.
Kids
renowned for their. Yeah, yes, that's what we also recognize too. How much of this was because we had kids?
How many toys do they need?
Yeah. Another stream that Larry Rasmussen identified was the social justice stream. I'm trying to put this up, but I don't know how to get it up, but you can read through social justice. Sometimes this is the prophetic stream, you know. It's the stream in the Christian tradition that raises up people who are poor and don't have food to eat, and says, remember what Jesus said about feeding those who are hungry? Remember that? Remember what the prophet said about how we gather up all of the land in our territory and widows and orphans are going homeless and we're actually devouring their lives as we're gathering and amassing all of this land. So it's partly the prophetic tradition. It's the tradition that calls the church to change its practices so that there could be more equality and equity in how we distribute resources in the world and how we share the bread that we've been given. The social justice stream is the stream that would be having a hunger walkathon with the crop walk in your community so that there could be more sharing going on. Social justice in a simpler life is when you make a choice that I'm not going to buy that apple because the workers are being oppressed. And I've heard about that, and I'm not going to participate with my money in that particularly oppressive situation. I'm going to refuse to participate in that oppression. Or to make a choice that the hunger meal, some families, for example, have a hunger meal every week in their own house, so that they might only eat a baked potato for that meal or a cup of rice. And the money that they would share or save from having a full meal that day, they would put into the hunger appeal from their church. so that they're reducing the amount of food and money that they're spending and consuming so that they can share with more people. So that's a choice of living a simpler life that comes out of this social justice stream.
I have a question about backtracking to the apple decision.
Uh-huh.
You know, you decide to not buy this apple, but then what does that do to the farm where these people are working?
Mm-hmm.
Does it shut it down? And then how do you then maybe circumvent the whole, you know, outwardly I'm protesting this, but I still want to get resources to these people?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are the...
Yeah, the social justice questions, just like aesthetic questions, are not simple. They're complex because... In the economy that we have, it isn't just as simple as, well, are the workers unionized or not? Are the laborers being paid fair wages or not? Is it better that I buy an apple from, if I'm living here in Washington State, that I buy apples that are grown here in Washington versus apples that may be organic from Australia? What you have to... you know, kind of make some decisions about what you're going to choose at times. And it's not going to be perfect. A simpler life is not a perfect life. A simple life is recognizing that we're all human beings, all from a Lutheran perspective, perhaps it might not just be Lutheran, but we're all caught in a web of sin. One of the things that bugs me is folks who think that they can be purists in any political decision or in any decision of a simpler life. Because we can't be pure. If I choose not to buy this apple, you're right. There's perhaps a farm family whose income is going to be jeopardized because of that, and their child may not be able to go to St. Olaf College because they don't have the money to pay for the tuition at St. Olaf College. And I've just participated in, you know, reducing that particular family's options.
That's the social justice dimension of the Central Lutheran commitment to justification by grace through faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are never pure. And if we try to attain our own purity on the basis of our justice practices, we'll never get there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, instead of being paralyzed by that inability to guarantee our own purity, we rely on God's grace and go ahead and do the best thing that our natural reason can figure out to do in the context.
Mm-hmm. Bonhoeffer says a helpful thing. He says, action springs not from thought, but from a decision to take responsibility. And so, as you're making decisions and considering them, there comes a point where you still have to feed your family or feed yourself. You still have to make a decision with the resources that are there before you. And then take responsibility and say, you know, yeah, I did buy these socks that were made in the Dominican Republic. I'm making that decision. I'm taking responsibility for it. And I'm recognizing that I am bound up with the people's lives in the Dominican Republic. And so then you can ask subsequent questions.
Okay. I was talking about buying apples. Is it better to go to the grocery store and buy the apples, or is it better to buy the apples from the little roadside stand from a small orchard?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you're hitting the social theme there.
Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of questions around the social justice stream, but it is one of the streams and one of the places that can motivate us for a simpler life, a life of conscious, responsible decisions in how we live. Another stream is mysticism. And how Larry would describe this is that recognition of communion with all creation. That my life is intricately woven, not necessarily in the sinful web, but in, when you look at it from a different perspective, from the blessedness of creation. That my life is part of this blessed web of life that God has created. And so that as I eat my apple, I'm communing with the apple, with God's being and blessing in that apple and in the process of its growth from seed to tree to fruit, or to flower to fruit. I'm in communion with the people who cultivated the land, who grew the apple and picked it and harvested it and even transported it to where I am eating it right now. Anybody see the movie Sideways? Sideways, yeah? Do you remember when one of the female characters is talking about why she loves to drink wine? She says that she loves to drink wine because, I should remember the exact quote, of what it makes her remember. It makes her remember the earth when she drinks a glass of wine. It makes her remember the hands of the people who picked the grapes. It makes her remember what it might be like to be on the work crew and the labor that they put into it, and perhaps even the joy that they might have at seeing the sunrise over the vineyard. It makes her remember death, the compost and the soil made up in that process of life and death. And so that is an example of a mystical moment, that when she drinks wine, it puts her in communion with all creation.
But how does that get us to simple living?
You can spend, like she did in the movie, spend $50 on a bottle of wine, which does not seem to be a very aesthetic. or maybe she's not even so making decisions about if the laborers are getting fair wages as they're picking the grapes, or if it has pesticides on it or not. But I would say for me, the mysticism is, it relates to how you were talking about the providential aspect of God. The recognition that all of life is alive with God's being. There's a way, just if you're interested, we as Lutherans can make a distinction that, or as Christians generally, there's a thing called pantheism, where things, trees, can be little gods, okay? But there's also another part of the Christian tradition which fits into this, which God is in all things, okay? Luther used that when he was talking about how can we believe that God is in the bread and in the wine or in the water, in the sacraments. And Luther referred to the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and through the Word all things were created, and the Word is in all things. So if the Gospel says that the Word is in all things, then the Word is in the bread and the wine, just like Luther said, the Word, God, is in my cabbage soup. So as he would eat his cabbage soup, Luther, in a mystical sense, was recognizing that he was also in communion with God. Luther, if you're interested, does make a distinction between the grace that comes through the particular sacraments that we cannot manipulate that kind of grace and power. That's freely given to us in the sacraments. But that in our cabbage soup, we can manipulate those materials and in some ways manipulate God's presence that could be sinful. But still, Luther would say, even if you don't know it, by participating in creation and by enjoying the creation, you're enjoying God. in a mystical
so the,
way.
The mystical logic of simple living must be something like what we're all ultimately hungering for and looking for is God,
mm-hmm.
and satisfaction only God can give. And since God is present even in simple things, the simple things are enough to satisfy us,
mm-hmm.
because the simple things give us God.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that?
Yeah. Any comments? Yes.
Well, it seems to me that the social justice and mysticism are just two sides of the same coin. I mean, social justice focuses more on sin in the world, and mysticism focuses more on God's goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the whole notion of the fall, or that we're sinful, but we still have the image of God. I mean, it just depends on which one you're emphasizing more between those two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And mysticism could also go along with asceticism. Probably some ascetics have been mystics.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
A lot of the Orthodox Church has a more mysticism view, where they really see the goodness of creation more than like Protestants tend to appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this, and this fourth stream is a little going to be even a little bit more closely to the mystic, and but it's the sacramental. That not only is there just a communion of all beings in this great web of life, but that there is a holiness and a sacredness that comes through, and. But this is born more starting from the sacraments of the church, and then leading out into the world. So if we say that God is present in the sacraments of the church, the Eucharist, Holy Communion, and Holy Baptism, then how we care for the rest of the world flows from that kind of a practice of sharing the sacraments. So you would make a decision in terms of simpler living that if God freely gives us himself in Holy Communion, then a simpler life is that I freely give of myself in the life of the community. And so you flow from the sacraments. If God is present in the waters of baptism and has blessed me and called me as a child, especially gifted child of God, how am I using those gifts in the world, in my vocation and call? So in some ways when you were talking about call, I was thinking about this sacramental way of living and making choices in our simpler living, or to live more simply, flowing out of our sacramental life. So asceticism, social justice, mysticism, and sacramental are four streams that flow through the Christian tradition. And sometimes I make decisions that are more in line with one or the other. And at times in my life, I've been frustrated because I've been thinking, well, there must be some great way of living a simpler life. And why are they living or making a choice that way when I'm making a choice this way? To enjoy the goodness of creation, to sit down, like Martin Luther said, let God be God and let us go and have a beer. That Luther is someone who wants us to recognize and enjoy God's goodness in creation and to take part in it. There were times when Luther was not making a decision based on social justice principles. He sometimes supported the landowners and the princes in a war against the peasants. And so he was not operating in that case out of a social justice mode, unfortunately, I think. And so that just in Luther, you can see him making choices on how he lived in one of these streams at certain times and at other streams in other times of his life.
Would you be willing to share, just because some of these streams are kind of new to me, and it sounds as though some of us are having difficulty. You said that you have made decisions out of different streams. Could you just give an example of each?
Sure.
Of a decision?
Sure. So, like, again, I'll repeat one. The aesthetic in me wants to declutter and to... I also made a choice. Another example would be that when I'm a Lutheran pastor, and each of the synods has a minimum salary guideline for what they think a pastor should be compensated. And I've made a conscious decision that that's all that I'll require. But even to come to the LVC position, I made a conscious choice with Judy to receive less than the synod guidelines. So that was a conscious decision to not receive as much compensation.
And can you explain how your motivation was asceticism rather than, say, social justice?
Aesthetic because for LVC, for example, we think about well, I was going to almost go back into social justice in one way, so I'm going to try to keep it in to
yeah, I mean,
describe my
full
is that for our I'll just even take it to another level, our daughter's education, because Judy and I, my wife and I, are not making very much money in these years of our life. For Maya to go to college, we will have to rely more on public financing than on our personal financing. We will not have the personal, private wealth to send Maya to St. Olaf College, for example, where I graduated from. We're going to have student loans for Maya. We're going to have to, not that she's going to go to St. Olaf, because there's 100,000 other colleges that might be the better match for her. But we're going to rely more on the community's care of our child rather than only a private care of our child.
So like the Franciscans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, that explains it.
Yeah. We are, Maya is going to the neighborhood public school. There are schools that maybe Maya even could have gotten a scholarship for in Washington, D.C., but we've made a choice to be a part of the public education. And in a way, that's an aesthetic choice, because it's not amassing more resources for ourselves or even for a child's education. Okay. Social justice concern is that we try to make food choices by, especially it was more easy when we were in, or it was easier when we were in California, in Watsonville, California. There's a way of buying food called Community Sustainable Agriculture, or CSA, Community Sustainable Agriculture. And basically, it's a buying direct from the farmer process. And so we knew from April to October exactly who was growing our vegetables and who, in which farm they were growing our vegetables. And we knew how much money they were actually receiving because we bought shares and we knew there was no middle person. It was the farmer who grew our vegetables and we paid them our money and they gave us our vegetables. So the transaction was much more clear. Again, it wasn't pure. There were other issues involved that would might not be totally a just situation. But we were making that decision mostly out of a social justice concern, that we were uncomfortable in participating in a food economy that having so many people in Watsonville receiving such dirt poor wages for the work that they were doing in the fields, that sometimes we did buy vegetables in that way, but we decided to put most of our food dollars into this CSA program because that we felt was more just than simply going to Safeway and buying our vegetables and fruit off the rack there. We felt more comfortable with that. So that would be an example of a social justice motivated decision of a simpler life. Okay. In the mystical or mysticism stream, this is this would be for me partly just coming to Holden Village, to go and walk to 10 Mile Creek Falls, and like Doris and I did, and to see the beautiful vista, and to feel like I was a part of this part of creation. That's a decision partly that I made out of this mystical stream. I didn't make it really out of a social justice stream so much, you know, because I'm from Washington, D.C., so I spent...
I had to fly,
I had to rent a car, I'm driving the big SUV to get here from Seattle, you know? So the social justice stuff was not so motivational for me, but to be a part of all creation, and in this particular place, that really motivated my decision to
come.
Could
you do this in D.C. too?
No, I don't think there's a place like. I mean, what do you? Could I be in communion with all creation in D.C.? Oh yes,
okay.
Yes.
And they did ask questions about places like this in D.C. in terms of walking in nature. So
mm-hmm.
You don't
mm-hmm.
ask.
Yeah, and the place where we rent our house is right next to Rock Creek Park, which is one of two urban national parks in the United States, and it's a huge swath of land that. Our house, actually, the back, our dining room, looks out onto this national park with full of trees. And so we sit down for food and we feel like we're right there in the middle of the forest. You know, our landowner, it is an expensive neighborhood now. D.C. is being gentrified and it's becoming more like living in San Francisco. But our landowner is... former Peace Corps administrator and an ESL teacher, and they wanted to rent to somebody in the social justice community who had children.
Cool.
And we found out about the place through Sojourners. So I'm sure they're providing us with rent below standards. They want us to take care of the house so that they can come back and retire in it. And
Jim Wallace gave you the number.
Yeah, I know. But close. Our two doors down is a friend of Jim Wallace's who emailed us and said, I think our neighbors would like to rent to you. So that would be Judy, my wife, loves to walk whenever she can because it helps her feel this freedom and communion with creation. And gets her blood flowing in a good way that makes her feel more alive. That would be a mystical decision.
So in terms of like simplifying your life,
mm-hmm.
if those are the things that renew you,
mm-hmm.
make you feel good,
mm-hmm.
that's a simplifying choice when faced with the cultural imperative to buy more stuff to make you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's a simplifying decision.
Mm-hmm.
Or go on a cruise and have everything
you know, shoved into making your life beautiful that one week,
uh-huh.
instead of learning to have to scrape your dishes every day when you're here at Holden, or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. For the sacramental, an example of sacramental, we motivated decision. Do that for me. Well, I guess maybe my job would be a clear one there, to put it into that vocational aspect. You don't have to be ordained to be the director of the Lutheran Volunteer Corps. I'm the only ordained staff person. So to help run LVC is not a decision about just because I'm ordained. But I definitely feel that it's a call that's blessed by God and motivated by God, and that call for me came out of the worshiping community. So to choose my work is related very definitely to the sacraments, and to how they feed me, and to how I use those gifts that I receive in worship in my work on a daily basis, Monday through Friday, and sometimes on the weekends too. So that would be an example of, I guess, a sacramental decision. We're 5 minutes over. I was watching the time, and it was, 11:30 the last time I looked. So it's 11:50. I encourage you to continue thinking about simpler lifestyle questions. Like I said at the beginning, today seems to be the day to put these out to us in a number of different modes. So enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy your meal. And discover what else there is besides rice to enjoy as we share a meal together in Old Village. Peace. I'm going to go and get my son. He's at Narnia, so I have to leave right away.